I thought that I was within the parameters in this read of the code, completely within what I needed to do. When Officer Perkins came out, he was, from his body language, he was quite intent on finding something wrong. It was creepy because I had to bring him up under my carport with a 6-foot fence, which is a very private area, very secure. And need I add that on the west and east side of my carport, there are fences completely covering. So it's buffered. It is buffered. I was in hopes of having a discussion if that meant or not, or if not, what did I need to do to make this compliant? I am a compliant human being. I don't wish to have additional troubles fraught upon me as Perkins saw fit to do. Pulled out his ticket book and wrote me a ticket. I've already spent close to $2,000 subsequent. Turned out that Elise, who is the junior police, or the junior dog officer, she's not a senior dog officer, had occasion to come out and discuss with me subsequent at the request. What was it? Because I asked Officer Perkins as he's abruptly walking away from me and getting in his truck without a discussion about what I needed to do. He laid a $435 ticket on my back. This is, well, and the code violation is such, he says I violated code 7.135, which gives the justice of the peace the opportunity to euthanize my dogs. Euthanize them. I never foresaw such a miscarriage of public service in my entire life. And I'm a woman, a senior. $435, I have to take time off from work again, drive 120 miles to address this citation that could put my dogs in the death house. When Elise came out, and I dare say, very humanely, clearly communicated to me what I needed to do, and that is this. Nowhere in this code does it say it. But I get it. Because I didn't want my animals killed, my dogs, my family. I was instructed, and it was about to be Thanksgiving break, to buy a dog enclosure from Jerry's. $290 that has a gate, which I did. Because I'm not able to put together by myself one of these cyclone enclosures which has a gate, and to tie on, even though it's under my covered carport, I had to buy a tarp and tether that to the enclosure, and I had to build a doghouse to put inside the covered carport, and I had to put a dog bed and I'm very tight on vermin, rats, mice, possums, anything soft and cuddly in the winter, they'll find cause to get up in there, and a bucket of water. Now my dogs are to be, as instructed, not in the code, but instructed verbally to me, that anytime I set them out there, they're to be on a leash. They are to have a muzzle. Even though it's within the confinement of my carport, even though I'm walking them to this 5x10 covered enclosure, they will never be able to run again for 2 years. My dogs are Labradors. That's a working breed. Their muscles are going to atrophy, their health. Just as if someone told me, thou shalt never ride a bike again. Thou shalt not walk again for 2 years. What is my body going to do? I am upset.
Janet.
Let me finish.
No, it's upsetting me that you're so upset.
So, I am upset.
I know.
My dogs can be killed over this.
You need to stop.
So, I'm advisory board to be, rather than complicit with the death of my dogs, to review this code that I complied with, because had I was not informed what I needed to do.
Is there a process?
It wasn't until Elise came. I have been to Dan Hurley. I have been to him.
May I ask a question?
Yes.
You gave us the number of the code that you were cited for. What
yes.
does that mean? What were you cited
I
for?
I will read it specifically what
just,
it states.
Just offhand, what were you cited for?
Section 7.135. It means all of the above. If I did not comply, these are the things that can happen.
Well,
one of which
we don't euthanize animals for no reason. Why are you talking about that?
Because that's what Perkins put on the most recent
for
citation.
What reason? Why would the animals be euthanized?
Because I did not comply with what his expectations were of the enclosure.
That doesn't make sense.
Thank you. Thank you.
I think he's asking to take a step back.
What was the initial citation?
Well, my dogs were determined because they got a hold of a cat at my mother's house that came into the backyard. Someone had cut the chain off her gate, and the dogs pursued the cat, and the cat died. It was a 15-year-old cat. It died in the arms of a neighbor.
The dogs killed the cat.
And it's been determined that one of the dogs killed the cat.
So were your dogs designated as dangerous dogs by
the
court?
That would be an accurate statement.
By the court?
Yes.
Okay, that's what we
yes.
need to.
So it's not that I don't want to be compliant. I treasure my dogs.
That's why you would be required to keep your dogs in an enclosure. Because
and
they were designated
I have no
as
problem
dangerous dogs.
Doing that. I just need to be apprised of what that looks like, because the code is not plain enough to understand. I read it to you verbatim. When I read it, I felt that I was completely with the 20x40 enclosure, 6-foot fence around. I didn't know how strident
it was. I have a
question.
Does this advisory board have the authority to waive her ticket?
No.
And since this is a matter that's still in front of the judge, we're not going to comment on it either.
It has to go through the courts.
Yeah.
If I were you, I would talk to a lawyer.
I am. And I'm going to seriously consider suing the county for this how ambiguous this has been written, because it puts people like me in serious jeopardy. And if you want to put a law on the books, you better be clear and plain so people can comply with it the first time. It is not that I didn't want to be compliant. It's because the county had an officer that saw the opportunity to onerize me, to make my life as miserable as it possibly could be.
I understand what you're
with
saying.
With leadership that would give him the approval.
I have another question. Do you have a lawyer now?
I'm getting one. I can't afford one, but I will have to possibly save my animal's life. I've already been to court once. I've already paid my fines. This was Perkins' way of digging the knife in. And I want the county, the advisory board, to know what kind of a personality you have in your line of employment. Elise is 10 times the public servant that Bernard, who's ready for retirement by his own admission, could ever possibly have been.
Well, I think the process here, Janet, correct me if I'm wrong, is that you're asking the advisory committee to review a provision of the code. Is that what you're asking for?
Provided more
and that would be within their purview. They do not have the ability to waive a ticket. They do not have the ability to waive into personnel issues. They do not have none of us have the ability to make comments or change something that is a pending investigation or process.
What has happened to me, because I was so sincere in wanting to be compliant, that I took everything that Elise said totally to heart and instantly did it, because I was apprised of it.
Okay, another question. So you want us, is it 7.135 you want us to look at?
I want you to look at specifically 7.045, impoundment of animals. It's very ambiguously written. No less, okay? He asked me, I'm answering his question. No less.
So is that the only one you want us to look at, 045?
Please.
Okay.
And please review along with that what Elise suggested I do, and my compliance sign-off. What I did that was verbally told to me, not written, verbally told to me, and I complied. Failure by Officer Perkins.
Okay.
Perkins did not provide me with that.
We will put that on our agenda.
Thank you. And would you so advise me if I leave my email address so I can let my attorney know that, because I have a February 12th court date. Thank you.
Sure.
I'm going to leave my email if you have it.
No, I don't. Could you?
I will write it down.
Why don't you?
And I apologize for the. I won't apologize for the passion.
Write it on here.
These are my family. My dogs are my family.
We understand that.
They're facing an execution squad.
Please, I understand that. Put your email that address down.
Unnecessarily.
What's your email? Focus on your email.
You write it so I can read it. Make sure I can read it.
And my dogs are not pit bulls. My dogs are Labrador Foxhound.
Gmail.com.
Labrador Foxhound.
.com.
Janet Ayers 633.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, got it.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you for your attention.
Dare but for a bit of compassion.
There's a lot more to the story.
Moving on, do we have any changes or additions to the agenda?
None from staff.
How about the review? Has anybody reviewed the audio minutes? You don't really have to approve them. I have not.
I did check in with legal counsel because that was a question the advisory committee had last time about if the minutes were not reviewed, the audio minutes, is it necessary to approve them? Legal counsel is recommending that, you know, if you can avail yourselves of the opportunity to do so, it's a good idea to review them and approve them, but not necessary and at the discretion of the advisory committee. So it does not sound like it's a hard, fast rule that you have to approve audio minutes. So, and I included that as a discussion item down under new and continuing business. So if you want to discuss that further or you want to think about it, I bring it back next month.
Okay.
And again, the reason we went to audio minutes from handwritten minutes is because of the consistency and the guidance and direction with other advisory committees within the county. So it's all audio minutes.
New business or the Cresswell horses report?
Yeah, I can, it'd be probably, this is a case that's still ongoing. And it's a felony case, so there's not a lot I can say. So I'd be more comfortable if you guys ask me questions about particular aspects, and if I can answer them, I will.
I do.
Okay.
How many horses are still impounded?
I don't know.
Have some been returned?
Yes.
And why have they been returned?
The horses that were owned by people other than the woman who was arrested,
mm-hmm.
those horses, once they returned, the ownership was determined, and their health was checked out, those horses were returned.
Were they returned at the same location?
No.
What was that same location you said?
Yeah.
To the person that has been cited?
No, they weren't.
Okay. To a different location then?
They were released to the owners.
Oh, the owners.
And they did not go back to that location.
Okay. Has it been determined that any of the horses that were impounded were healthy when they were impounded?
Yes.
And why were they impounded then?
The vet, okay, it was determined at the site on the day that we took the animals that even if the horse was not currently in danger, if they stayed in those conditions, they would be. And that was the vet's call.
Was the Oregon Humane Society involved?
Yes. They were the investigators. They are sanctioned by the state to investigate animal neglect and cruelty cases.
So in August of 2018, the state police rescinded their ability to investigate animal law or animal cases in the state. So was that reinstated?
I'm not aware of that.
Well, then I have something to show you.
And the DA who's working on these cases, who's an animal neglect expert, has absolutely no problems with their investigation.
I would like to know if they are allowed to investigate, because in August of 18, the state police said no more. And you have the state police letter behind that. See, I'm concerned about two things concerning the Oregon Humane Society. One, it's an animal rights group. And I've been the chair for some time of a national committee called the Laws Committee for my parent club of dogs. And it's a committee that consists of AKC legislative liaisons around the nation. One of the things I do is collect information to help them if there's a problem in their area. And one thing I found when animal rights organizations have been given the powers of enforcing the law, there's abuses. Not always, but quite often. And the abuses is due to the philosophy of the people within the organization. It's different than animal welfare philosophy. And Oregon Humane Society introduces all the laws the HSUS wants to introduce into the state, which are generally animal rights in nature. And eventually, the county is going to get sued. The Oregon Humane Society has been over the time, it's been several years since they were given the ability to enforce animal law. There have been abuses with Fourth Amendment rights, with taking animals that were healthy and not abused under the auspices that they had been abused and then eventually returned, and so forth. And so the county will eventually get sued.
As far as
also, one
that,
more thing.
Yeah.
I don't want them on my property. I'll end up in jail because I will not allow them on my property.
Okay. The decision to take the horses that were taken was not made by the Humane Society.
By the Oregon Humane Society.
Yeah. It was made in conjunction between the veterinarian, who was a contract veterinarian with us, and the deputy who was in charge from the Lane County Sheriff's Office, who was in charge of the operation. Mm-hmm. So that's who made those decisions. As far as the enforcing the law, the district attorney, the deputy district attorney from Benton County, who is covers all of Oregon for animal neglect cases, and he's handled this case himself, is, I'm sure, aware of this and would not. He's the one who's enforcing the law. They were cited by the Lane County Sheriff's Office, not by the Oregon Humane Society, and then the district attorney is pursuing the case.
Okay. I would like to get to the point in this county where we don't have to depend on the Oregon Humane Society.
Well, there's not going to be, I can tell you that's not going to happen. If I can only have 1.5 animal control officers for the whole county, the possibility of getting an investigator, it's just not going to happen.
So is that what it would take, an investigator, just one position?
Well, I mean, I don't
know. What would it take not to have to depend on them?
Well, it would. I would, for something like that. That would, I would imagine the board, the county commissioners, would have to direct us to sever any relationship with them. But
well, if we severed the relationship, we still need help because we only have 1.5 officers.
Right. Right.
So what would we need?
Well, one investigator it could not have handled this case. There was 70 some horses on the property. There was 9 dogs. There was chickens and other fowl, and there was even koi fish that were their conditions were not acceptable. And that was beyond the scope of LCAS ever being able to handle it.
Right.
That's an unusually large case, 70-some horses, 61 of which we removed from the property.
So would we need relationships with horse rescues?
We have relationships with horse rescues, and that's Emerald Valley Equine and what's the one, the Portland one, the Sound Equine Solutions. They're the ones that transported the horses up to Portland.
So what role did the Oregon Humane Society actually play?
They were the investigators. They have trained investigators.
So we would need trained investigators?
Yes.
How many?
They were the investigators, and they're also the they collected the evidence. They had evidence specialists there that collected evidence from the case. And that was the documentation.
And that was one of the reasons the state police rescinded their ability to...
I can check really easy with the district attorney.
As of the first of last year, all information I have went dark. I couldn't find anything else. I don't know what happened with the state police.
I'm confident that the district attorney, who handles nothing but animal abuse and neglect cases, would not let an investigator who's
right.
not sanctioned
yeah.
do he would not try to present that to the judge.
I would assume you're right.
So that we can look into that.
But what I gave you, if you turn that over, you'll see the letter from the state police.
Yeah, I can check with Jake Kamens.
Yeah, if you could find out what the result of their investigation was, I would like to know that.
As far as for the Humane Societies?
The state police investigation of the Oregon Humane Society.
I don't know if I'll be able to find that out, but I can find out if they are authorized to conduct these investigations or not.
That would be helpful.
Yeah.
However, if you can find out what the results of the investigation were, I would like to know that as well.
I'm just saying that information isn't always public.
I know that.
Yeah.
I understand that.
Yeah. Okay, we'll get back to you on that.
Maybe that's why I couldn't find out.
Yeah.
Okay. So those are the only questions I have. Anybody else? You have anything else to tell us about it?
It's hard for me to talk about it because it's all in my brain and I don't know what's privileged and what's not privileged right now. So it's just easier for me not to talk about it.
I understand.
And the case is still being adjudicated.
Mm-hmm.
When will they go to court?
We don't know.
Oh.
I know the DA was in talks with the defendant's lawyer. So I assume they were trying to reach some type of settlement, which is very common in this type of case. But I don't know what has happened with that.
Okay.
And you said that the defendant was arrested.
Well, she was
cited.
She was cited in lieu of taken into custody. Okay. In lieu of custody, yeah. But they were felony charges that were filed.
And all the animals have been removed?
No, we left. There was another person residing on the property who had some horses there, and those horses were left there after the vet said that they were not in danger. And they were under the defendant's control because the other person lived at the property also.
Had control over those horses.
The chickens, all the fowl were found to be, we didn't take those. We were ready to take them, as you guys were aware. And we had the cages for them at the fairgrounds to transport them to the Green Hill. But they were determined by the vet to be healthy. The dogs were determined to be healthy, but they were cited for other failure to license, things like that, for the dogs.
But they remain with...
They remain, yes.
I want you to know I have no issue with anything Bernie's ever done.
Mm-hmm.
I trust him totally. It's the Oregon Humane Society that I have a problem with.
Well, I can just tell you of my experience. This is a very large operation.
I'm sure.
When we rolled down there, there was probably 60 people on site with 25 vehicles. And we had the Sheriff's Office, we had Lane County Animal Services, we had the Humane Society, and then we had the horse rescue, and then we had our vets that we contract from Del Oeste.
Right.
So there was a lot of people, a lot of eyes on the situation. They're tough cases to build.
Okay.
And we took a lot of time and effort to do it.
And felony charges, animal abuse, anything else?
I don't know off the top of my head. There's multiple charges.
All right.
Once the DA takes it over, we've only met with him once since then, and that's when he told us that they were still pursuing it.
Okay. And then? Okay, moving on. Importation. I was going to suggest that I use my time for importation on the Oregon Humane Society. I've already done that. There's always things on importation, but I didn't bring anything with me. So we can move on, unless anybody has any questions.
I have a question. When an animal is imported, is it already spayed or neutered when it arrives here? No. Is that something that could be required? That before it comes in, it has to be spayed or neutered?
I doubt it.
Oh. Okay.
But if I'm not mistaken, don't all rescues spay and neuter before they release the animal?
No, a lot of times they give them a coupon.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
The ones I've dealt with do.
Well, the reason being, if I want to import a dog for my breeding program from England, I don't want to spay and neuter.
Oh, okay.
They're not all supposedly rescues or meat dogs that come in. If I'm not mistaken, and Dr. Penfold would know better, they have to be 6 months old and immunized for certain diseases. And I don't know if it depends on the country they come from. It may or may not. I'm not sure. He'd know that. But what we're seeing animals come in with immunization papers that are false.
Oh, okay. Well, that's fine.
And that's part of the problem that the CDC has at this point, trying to get a handle on that. And the CDC recently determined that something like only 1% of the imported animals they have in their database.
That's a small percentage.
Yeah, they're very concerned. Anyway, moving on. The Harriet Smith Trust accounting update.
Well, the second page of your agenda packet shows the what I estimate to be the remaining trust balance is at the bottom of the page. It's the $91,239 figure.
So that's what's remaining,
$91,239. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Didn't we have some questions on that last time?
I don't remember if
I did last time, but I did this time. $91,000 has been... when was this trust initiated? When did this come into, because I don't know.
The trust was established quite a number of years ago.
Is it like 2009? I don't know why that...
Predated Michael and I.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Yeah, we're not quite sure.
A while ago. And so, is there a reason why the funds just sit there rather than maybe this committee researching and finding a need for it?
She asked that the trust be used for Lane County Animal Control.
Right.
And there's a marriage now between Greenhill and Lane County Animal Control.
Right.
And so we try and make sure it goes to Animal Control, and this is mainly Scott's issue, and not to Greenhill.
Sure.
Even though Greenhill was taking over Animal Control. And if Greenhill, in my opinion, if Greenhill determines they need something and they don't have their own funding, we can look at this. And we advise the Board of County Commissioners what we feel should be released, and then the County Commissioners vote on it.
And so these funds cannot be used for other rescues or other, it's really limited to
Lane County Animal Control.
The end.
Right.
In association with Greenhill.
Right. Now,
yeah.
When the trust came to us, I think it was just before Greenhill took over.
Okay.
I may be wrong on that. They may have been in First Street at the time. I'm not sure. I think they were running.
July 1st, 2012.
I think they were running First Street at the time, so that's yeah, this happened after that. And then since, it went out to Green Hill. But yeah, we're limited to Lane County Animal Control.
Wow.
Of course, Green Hill runs it. You know, the runs, the recent runs that were built was built with this money.
Oh, I know, and it's been fabulous.
Yeah.
It's been huge.
But the community vet also asked for certain funding. Now, that, for one reason or another, that didn't follow through. So it's not just Green Hill. If that's what you were thinking, that the funds can only go to Green Hill projects, it's other items as well. Wasn't it the community vet that they were asking for a special x-ray machine?
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. So.
And we decided no.
But you were willing to consider maybe not the x-ray machine, which was, I think, very expensive, what, $35,000 or something, but you were willing to look at other items that they identify as being needed, but...
I don't remember how the wording of it. Mm-hmm. That's my interpretation that it's Lane County Animal Control. I don't know how it's worded.
No, it's for animals of Lane County.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I think that means it's... I think the interpretation can be more
right.
than just Green Hill.
Right.
Because you've entertained requests before, so.
Well, if it's not that, then it seems like some of the funds would be available to other legitimate rescues that are in unincorporated.
Well, I think the problem with some of those is a lot of those animals, like we were just talking about, are imported from other states, so I'm not sure if that would be a valid.
Gotcha.
Wouldn't be valid for me.
Yeah.
No, well, me either.
And we have a rescue sitting right there.
Right.
I'd sooner see it go to something like Green Hill than a private rescue that I don't necessarily trust.
I would agree with you. You know, Green Hill's going to know how to manage it better.
Right.
But in the past,
accountable.
Public comment, usually volunteers from Green Hill, are the ones who bring forward items for consideration to the committee, and then they just vote, and then we'll do the paperwork to get it in front of the Board of Commissioners to vote on.
So, you know, we're willing to listen. We may have to look at the trust itself to determine whether we can actually release the money or advise that the money be released. But yeah, we'll listen.
Good. I'm always full of suggestions.
Does the county own a dog park?
No, the First Avenue Shelter is jointly owned by the county, the city of Eugene, and the city of Springfield. And then when the county's big operation disbanded and the cities went their own way, Green Hill was our contractor, and they took over, and they're still our contractor, they took over the First Avenue Shelter, which is still owned by the three government agencies. Now that they have done their upgrade, remodel, and expansion, they no longer need it. So right now, the only thing that's in that facility is the Eugene Spay and Neuter Clinic. We're moving forward we want to dispose of the property. We don't foresee that we are going to get back into the Kenilin portion of animal control anytime in the near future. And it's a valuable piece of commercial/industrial property. It's worth about $1 million. It's just kind of sitting there. And the building is, for all intents and purposes, not that great. But the property itself is valuable. So we're working slowly with Eugene and Springfield to determine how to move forward on that piece of property. We can't just dispose of it by ourselves.
Is the Eugene Spay-Neuter Clinic still in that building?
Yes.
If they got rid of the building, where would they go?
Not my problem.
Oh.
I believe they're actively looking for another location.
We do think it's underutilized now. The facility itself is in very... It's in disrepair.
It's old.
Yeah. Yeah. And we not just... This is, countywide, when we have excess properties, we determine if there's the best and highest use of them. If we can't find something to use it for, we dispose of the property. We sell. We sell properties quite a bit. Usually, road funding, little pieces of land that are stuck here or there that we were going to build a road and we never did, and we just have the right of way, still we own the land. But we try not to keep these properties on the books because they could be earning A, tax revenue, and B, as this person who deals with the homeless camping issue, it's a magnet, and as this property has been a magnet for homeless camps.
Okay, moving on. Vendor licensing stats?
The committee had asked for a report, so we ran it for one full year. If the committee would like to see more stats other than one full year of license sales by vendor, we can certainly get that.
I don't think that's necessary. In the past, we had stats. Did we have monthly stats? I don't know if we had monthly stats or not for each vet clinic.
It would be not always very accurate because some of the vets aren't completely
right
up to speed about turning that data in
right
on a monthly basis.
I remember seeing in the past, as we do here, where some clinics sold really a lot of them, another clinic
yeah
sold none at all.
Yeah.
And is this a list of just the clinics that sell? As opposed to a full list of all the clinics that are supposed to sell?
This is the current list of vets that actually sell, plus Lane County.
Okay.
We've included our stats in here, too.
I'm confused. I'm thinking of rabies reporting.
That's
totally
different.
Different.
That's different.
That's totally different.
Yeah, right.
That's what I was thinking of. Because in the rabies reporting, we knew the list of the vet clinics that were supposed to report, and there were a number of them where there were zero reports, and others where they had all kinds of, you know,
mm-hmm,
that they reported like 300 in a year or something like that, or more, where others there were zero. That's what I was thinking of. I wasn't thinking of this. Okay, any questions about this?
Yes. I guess I'm still confused. Vets are not required when someone comes in with their animal, specifically their dog,
no,
to say, is it licensed and I'd like to see that, and if it's not,
no.
Why is that?
Well, just off the top of my head, we were just talking about it earlier, say I have four dogs, which I do. I wouldn't have to license them individually if I bought a non-commercial kennel license.
Okay.
And that covers it. So, and then I can understand vets would be very reluctant
that's
to
right
do our job of enforcing
right
those the animal, that portion of the animal.
They're running
now, they are required to report rabies. That's a state law.
Right.
They're rabies vaccinations. They have to report those.
And so, am I wrong in not thinking that it would be a really good thing if vets were required, just like with rabies, to license dogs? I don't understand that the problem
state law
is
requires that dogs be licensed. However, it doesn't require that vets have to rat on their clients that aren't licensed, and their vets aren't going to want to, because if they're required to, people will be reluctant to take their dog to the vet, and the vet will lose business.
Oh, well.
And so that will be an issue.
Right, okay, well.
And the other fear would be if somebody doesn't take care of an animal because they're afraid they'll have to pay a fine for not having their dog licensed. So here's an animal that doesn't receive treatment that he might need.
And how much is a license?
Well, here's an issue.
It varies
from a low $14 for a 62-year-old person with a neutered or spayed dog for 1 year, up to $84 for a regular dog that's a 3-year license and not spayed or neutered.
So it's not
so
very,
in between
not
14
very expensive.
And
it's not very expensive.
This is
really
an issue.
That's going to stop someone from going to the vet?
This is an issue I can talk about.
It can.
A number of years ago, both Albury clubs got together and brought in a director from Calgary, Alberta, where they have a 90% compliance rate of dog licenses, 50% on cats, close to it, not quite. That's unheard of. And so we brought the director down here to talk, and he talked to the public, and had a public seminar type thing, and then went up and talked to the commissioners themselves. And he indicated that we should remove the barriers to license, and fine people that don't license. And his fines were something like $250, where ours are now, or something like that. And he actually did that. If a dog wasn't licensed, they got fined. And then he got it on TV and the newspapers and so forth. Such and such got a fine. So the public knew that if they didn't license, it was a lot more cost effective to buy a license than get fined $250 per animal. And most people have more than one. And that's one thing we advocate for the county that the county won't do.
Is to
fine people and tell the public that people are getting fined.
Instead, we encourage them
to license rather than fine them when they don't license.
Right.
No, we fine people, if we just don't have the staff with 1.5 animal control officers to go check licenses. Now, if we come in contact with an animal for something else, you know, dangerous behavior or something else, and it's not licensed, they get charged for that also.
So we are fining people.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, then it needs to get in the newspaper and on the TV.
Yeah, we do. We fine them all the time for failure to license.
The more that gets publicized,
but we don't go out. Yeah, but we do not go out to look for it. We don't have someone looking for licenses.
Yeah, we're not advocating that. That isn't something I advocate. We've done it,
and
it did help increase the licensing, but I don't advocate that. I advocate the public relations that people understand they're going to get nailed if they don't license. That's what does it.
Yeah.
And that's what did it up there. And he said he could get on TV anytime he wanted. I don't know if that's true. I have a friend that lives up there that worked for animal control. She does no longer. She didn't much care for the guy, but she said he was telling us the truth.
Yeah.
That he did get on TV.
The reason we allow vets, and this is an optional program, vets don't have to do this, is to expand the opportunities for people to license their animals.
Right. I go to Vanita Vet, and I don't see it posted anywhere that they sell licenses, but apparently they do.
That's inside the city limits. Vanita has their own.
Yeah, inside city limits of Vanita.
Yeah.
By extension of our relationship with Lane County, if an animal, if a dog comes into the shelter, either lost and they're being returned to their family, or if they're being adopted into an unincorporated Lane County residence, we do require that there's licensing, proof of licensing, either prior proof then provided to us before we release the animal, or we take care of the licensing right there. Same thing with rabies. There either has to have a proof of rabies vaccination sent to us by their veterinarian, or we'll perform the rabies vaccination and then the subsequent licensing.
It's convenient.
So it's different than
when I adopt from Green Hill, that's all taken care of, whereas when I adopt from Lucky Paws, I have to do it myself.
Right. And you,
I just adopted and it was all part of it.
And you have to provide.
Yeah, it's the one thing that we don't waive. So oftentimes, impound fees, boarding fees, all of these things that can add up from a stray animal coming in, that can potentially be a barrier to being able to reunite them with their families. We have some wiggle room with those fees based on the nonprofit status. We do not wiggle for the licensing or the rabies.
In Oregon, you have to have a rabies certificate in order to get a license. And that was one of the things Director Bruce from Calgary said. He doesn't require the proof. We do.
Yeah.
But he says, if you have lied to me, then I'll nail you if I find out you lied to me. Or say a neutered dog license $15 and they get a $15 license, but he finds out the dog has his boys, he's going to nail him real hard. And he did things like that. And it got in the news, and it made a big difference. He said people weren't lying to him anymore.
Hmm.
So it made a difference.
Interesting.
Yeah. But we do advocate licensing the animals.
Yeah.
It helps animal control, pays for the investigations and so forth. Okay, we're on.
Approving audio minutes, if you wanted to have any more discussion on that.
I do not. Anybody else? Okay, Greenhill.
All right. We have been busy. We just celebrated the first 6 months of our merged two locations into one, as previously noted, when we were talking about the First Avenue shelter location. That also has led us to be open 7 days a week, and we're staying busy. We had a record-breaking intake year for the calendar year 2019, 18 different species, and just under 4,000 animals brought into the shelter. In terms of Lane County-specific work, there are two cases to note. The large colony of Vinita cats is still underway. However, we are over the, we feel like we are over the hump in terms of the majority of the cats have all been spayed, neutered, vaccinated, microchipped, and we're working in close concert with the homeowners, the family, to continue to provide stable food as part of our community pet food bank. It's cold. They are not, the remaining cats are quite feral. And so the process has slowed down, but we're still anticipating that by springtime, we should be completely wrapped up with the project, meaning that all of the cats on the property are spayed and neutered, vaccinated, and then anyone who would fall into the intake parameters in terms of being able to be handled safely by a veterinarian or a member of the public will then go through the adoption process. The remainder of the cats will be supported by the people living on the property. Colony control, education in terms of proper feeding, and to ensure that the colony does not the colony decreases in size with the natural life cycle and does not stabilize or increase over time due to births. Short Mountain, the landfill cats are the other project that we are fairly wrapped up. There's been a little over a dozen cats that have come in through the ODFW Trapper. Those have been spayed and neutered, and not like a traditional TNR program where they're altered and then returned to the original place and field. They have been relocated. So that's a unique situation, but it was absolutely necessary, and we were happy to be involved in that. And this time, I think we're pretty wrapped up, although yeah. We're still available for those services should the need arise. Springtime comes and we see that there are more cats out
yeah,
there.
Yeah, that's kind of a balanced population out there just mm-hmm. because all the other predators. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, far less than originally reported.
Yeah, there's a lot of coyotes.
Which usually
out
happens.
There.
Yeah. Let's see, we're meeting on Wednesday with members Kathy Snell and Mary Whitlock of the Lane County Animals and Disaster Program. Green Hill is looking at potentially providing more assistance in the administration and the implementation of our disaster response program for animals in Lane County. That can include snowstorms, wildfires, you name it, we're going to try to be ready for it. If you're not familiar with Lane County Animals in Disaster, it was a program that was significantly started out here after Hurricane Katrina and is primarily volunteer-run. And has had peaks and valleys, I think, with participation yeah. over the years, and we're looking to work in conjunction with Lane County's new emergency manager to make sure that that program and those volunteers are trained and ready to be called into action should the need arise.
That brings
it.
Up a question.
Yeah.
On talking about animals and disasters, do you have any kind of a vehicles or anything like that that you use for disaster?
Well, this Elkade, Lane County's Animals and Disaster, they have a trailer of supplies, a big trailer, which is here, and I'm also the fleet manager. We maintain the trailer for them. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we have all that.
Yeah, a trailer of supplies. It includes crates and
yep.
Transport materials. Right. Beyond that, though, we don't have anything specific in terms of transport best practices for animals, but we have utilized, we have two cargo vans that Green Hill owns that we've utilized in situations previously.
And I work in emergency management also, and the animals in disaster is one of the annexes in our plan, and most of the support, like we did with the horses, would come from volunteers.
The reason I ask is because the AKC has a disaster relief program that they get together and donate trailers. Some years ago, Eugene Kennel Club and McDuff Kennel Club got together and bought LCAS a trailer that I think is just being used for storage now. That's why I asked to see if I had something. Anything else?
That's it.
Any questions? Okay, Lane County Animal Services activity. Anything else? We've talked about quite a bit already. Mm-hmm.
Well, and the, it really is looking at the stats for the animal welfare officers, and it's the very back of your packet. Mm-hmm. It describes what the animal welfare officers are doing. It goes into some detail about that. It also points out just how many letters and notifications admin sends out for license renewal notices. We send out a lot of letters, so that goes back to that activity as well. So I didn't see anything out of the ordinary, but we'll continue to provide that every month so you can see the activities that Bernie and Rachel are, and Elise are doing.
Okay, I have a question. How soon is Bernie retiring?
We don't like to talk about that with Bernie.
I know we don't.
No, he not for at least a year.
Okay. Do we know what's going to happen when he retires?
We assume he'll have a long and happy life raising cattle. I know that's not what you meant, but we would hire another animal control officer.
The person that's the half, what's her name again?
Elise.
Elise?
Does she want to be full time?
That was my question.
I believe she does, but so right now that's a half-time animal control officer position. Bernie will be, when he retires, will be vacating a full-time senior animal control officer. So whether Elise is qualified to even apply for that job based on an education and years of experience, we'll have to take a look at when that
Can she be given a heads up so that she can get the training
she needs? She knows.
Okay.
Yeah.
Then you would only need to hire a half-time person unless you could have
We're also trying to find the money to convert that half-time position into a full-time position.
So you have two full-time.
So we'd have two full-time. So if come budget season, if any of you esteemed committee members would like to write to your commissioner in support of our proposal to raise it to full time, we would not object.
I would think, knowing the way most of us think, that if you would ask us to do something like that, we would pass a motion.
It would not be good if I got involved in this particular matter, because I'm the one requesting the money, and for it looks like I'm going out to the public to solicit support for tax money for me. I don't want to do
we've
that.
We've got a huge county.
But I'm letting you know what's going on in the budget process.
Right. We've got a huge county.
I'll keep you informed every month.
Apparently the size of Connecticut.
Yes.
Don't we need more than two?
Yes. We are right now, if you're not aware, we only respond to, for the most part, neglect and abuse cases and investigations. That doesn't mean if someone calls there's an injured animal on the road, we'll do something like that. But for the most part, that's where our emphasis is. If someone's got a barking dog, we do not care.
Right.
We are not going to respond.
Right.
Even though it's a violation, we just don't have the resources, so we have to prioritize.
Right.
And we also we do spend a lot of money. I guess I spend a lot of money because when an injured or sick animal is found in unincorporated Lane County, and someone takes it to the emergency vet, they call me, and I have to authorize treatment or authorize it to be euthanized. And one of the things I do is I have to check with Gail, the vet at Greenhill, to see if they would take this animal to begin with. So I'm not going to spend money on an animal that they say we can't take.
Right.
So,
how many do we need for a county this size?
I'd be happy with two.
I know you'd be happy with two. How many do we need?
Well, we'd have to sit down and really take a look at what the extra manpower would be doing. We'd have to come do some really deep analysis. Like, if we had this many full-time animal control officers, it would increase our compliance rate for rabies vaccination and licensing by X percentage to try to convince people to pay for itself. And then we'd also have to see, these are the things that we're not responding to now, nuisance animals, that we could start to respond to. So those are the types of things we would have to make a case for in the budget. We will make a case for in the budget process. We just haven't gotten that far yet.
Does the state have a requirement as to what we have to have for our population or anything?
The city has their own animal control department. Both cities
the city
do.
Does.
It's just the county.
We work with them all the time. Springfield has one animal control officer. Eugene, I think, has three now. I think two and a supervisor. So they're being the biggest part. But we cooperate. They cover for us. We cover for them. So we work. When the split happened between all the animal services and the cities, that wasn't at this level. That wasn't a decision made at this level or because of problems at this level. It was way above this level. And primarily financial reasons.
It was the Eugene city manager, basically. You really can't advise us to how many you would like to cover all your issues.
Let me put it this way. We're only going for another 0.5 to add a 0.5 this year. This budget year is our next budget year, which we're just starting to work on that budget now. That's what we're going to be proposing.
Okay. What's the fiscal year for budget?
July 1st to June 30th. So we've started right now the budget process that begins for the year that begins on July 1st of this coming July.
So we need to talk to our county commissioners about approving what they're asking for at the minimum.
Would it be possible for this committee to draft a letter to them?
Absolutely.
So that, you know, that's something that we can work on since you can't give us input or you can't draft something for us.
Right.
But if we could have the key points that we want to address.
Yeah. We will help you with the information.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
So you can draft a letter?
I will give you the information.
You can do an outline.
Yes.
Okay. Could we have that information for next meeting?
Next meeting will be in February.
February 10th.
Yeah, it won't go before the budget, it goes through the budget committee, and that's where you really want it, which is the five commissioners and five citizens on the budget committee. Those deliberations are in May, so we have a little bit of time. But if we don't have it for you in February, we'll definitely have it for you by March.
Okay. Good. Super. Okay, open discussion. I would like to ask Linda Cook about the lady that was here earlier. You seem to know her or know something about her situation. Do you have anything you can tell us about it at all?
Well, let me give you a little background on that. Because you saw how excited she
gets.
Right,
I saw.
She wanted to meet in with me. I'd met with her before, and that happened. So I called Linda to get someone else in the room who wasn't connected to the case. Uh-huh. And Linda was great helping me out. Uh-huh. And it really calmed her down. Apparently, I don't have the ability to calm.
You're the bad guy.
Yes. So that was very beneficial. And she trusts Linda much like she trusts Elise, where she doesn't trust me and she does not trust Bernie.
Right.
So, if you had anything to add, but Linda was a great help in this.
And really, I was approaching this not so much from the content of what she was communicating, although I think she made her points well, they were well stated. I just saw that her emotional status was continuing to escalate, and that's not good for her. And therefore, I wanted to try to de-escalate her and get her out of that ruminating thing. So, I would guess that maybe she had some past trauma in her life, or there was something that causes her to not be able to calm herself down. And I wanted to spare her dignity and try to help her, try to help rein her in.
Isn't this the same woman that visited us back in...
Yes.
Yes, it is.
And talking about cats
yes.
at that
yes.
time. And she was very passionate then, not to this level, but I do remember very passionate, very forceful, very articulate.
I think she has legitimate points that get lost in her emotional delivery.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Let me review what I think I know. Excuse me. Her dogs killed the neighbor's cat.
Two cats. One was under our jurisdiction, one was under City Eugene's.
Okay.
Oh, so the cats weren't on the dog's property?
No.
The dogs were off. The dogs
were
got out.
Running free?
Could I call you back?
The cats or the dogs?
The dogs.
I don't remember. I believe they were, they were on leash, but when she let go of the leash.
Yeah, they weren't on their
yeah.
personal property.
So my confusion was, for the longest time, I wasn't sure what she was asking, what this, initiated this that you brought up, but, so these are potentially dangerous dogs.
No, not potentially.
They're classified as
DBs. They declared them DBs.
And they have to be in
security
kennels.
Have to have the collar, have to have a sign posted.
And so her carport, whatever she did there, was not fulfilling that obligation.
That's correct.
And, okay.
Well, there are a number of particular details that we're not at liberty to discuss.
Right.
It's still ongoing.
Right.
You heard her...
Right.
Perceived of what happened. I'm sure we also have knowledge of what happened through the case, but we're not at liberty to
right.
discuss that.
I
understand. And both Michael and I are hesitant to try to, because I had the same desire to try to help her de-escalate, but coming from Michael and I, where she's already had initial conversations and discussions with.
And now, since she did it again today, what she's told me before, she's going to sue us, so that cuts off all conversation right there.
It is unfortunate. We do have a lot of sympathy for the issues that she's undergoing, but it's already gone to the court. We don't have the ability to waive what the court has done.
Right.
This committee doesn't have that ability to do that. Michael and I have had discussions with her several times. I've had discussions with her one-on-one several times, and just to assure this committee, we have attempted to help her understand and comprehend what's been going on.
At this point, if she jumps through all the hoops, she won't be in jeopardy of losing her dogs, having them euthanized, or is it moved past that point, or maybe you can't say that either?
Bernie cited her for failure to comply with
right.
the first court order.
Okay.
She's going back to court for the second citation, and the judge will decide.
Okay.
From my experience, there is practically zero chance that the judge would have her dog euthanized.
Yeah, I can imagine. Right.
Because she didn't have the enclosure done on the day it was supposed to be done. So usually in those cases, I'm going to talk about her case now.
Right.
Usually in those cases, another fine or extended probation is what happens. So I don't know what's going to happen with her, but that's...
So where did this happen? Where does she live?
Over in Whittaker, Grand Avenue maybe,
or
somewhere.
Oh, so it's local. It's
yeah, yeah.
in this area.
It's one of those River Road type areas where city
right.
and county jurisdiction
right.
are very close, and that's why... One cat was killed on city property, the other cat was killed on county property, so she got cited and convicted of two DBs and two failure to surrender, because they're supposed to surrender, she didn't surrender the animals from us, and then two DBs and two failure to surrender from the city.
She mentioned driving a long distance, and I thought maybe she lived a long ways away.
No, well, unfortunately, this is not related to this case, but there used to be three justice courts, one in Eugene, one in Oak Ridge, and now in Florence. Now the only one is in Florence.
So
anyone who's cited in this area has to go to the justice court, has to go to Florence for it. And that's not a good thing either, but that's not our...
Right.
Is what it is, right.
And I will admit, she did raise one point that has really made me very curious. So I'm going to create a scenario that is not from her, but it does raise a question in my mind. She's, I think her point of view is, if I'm walking my dog and a cat crosses the street and my dog lunges out and kills that cat, why am I, as the dog owner, the only one that's liable in this situation? Why isn't the cat owner equally liable? And I think that's her frustration. And that's how she opened, but she didn't stay on point with that.
When she first came here, when we first saw her, she talked about cat licensing and having cats restrained on a property as well as dogs.
Yeah. Right. Because dogs, you know, are in many cases hardwired to view a cat as prey and wants to go after them.
Right.
And so it becomes a more difficult situation for the dog owner.
Right. Yeah, well, she's fighting two battles because she was originally fighting the battle about the cats.
Mm-hmm.
And now, that sort of morphed into the second battle.
I think the second battle was there as well, but more things have happened since then.
Oh, right.
I didn't even think about that.
I have a cat that we can take out on leash, but it's not a normal thing for cats.
Right, I used to as well, but you're right, it's not normal for a cat.
Yeah. When we first put him on, he did this.
And it's very
like we killed him. Yeah.
Right.
But now he knows it's the only way he gets out.
It's difficult to keep it at home. They'll go over a fence or under a fence or whatever.
Yeah,
and so that's a difficulty too.
Yeah, you can't put them in a kennel. They can.
Yeah. No,
you know, unless you glue the roof to the sides.
The alternative is house cats.
Catios.
Yes.
Catios.
Yeah, I've seen walks. There's one out in Pleasant Hill where I live, which looks like the habitat for gerbils. It's like a tower, it comes out of the house, a tunnel, it goes to the backyard, goes to a perch up in a tree.
Well, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Habit trail.
Our cat just even likes the screen door, just to have the, so you can sit there.
Look, I have cats, they're free roaming, they get killed. And then that's the way it is.
It happens.
You know, but if it's a dog, then...
Well, my experience with dogs, and I'm sure these two people have had the same thing, there's very few people that are competent with their dogs.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know how to train, they don't know how to restrain them. You've got a dog on a lead, it's pulling down there, it's not your side.
Yeah.
People just don't understand how to train a dog or how to restrain a dog properly. It's common, it's normal.
Yeah.
Well, if her dogs are large, she could have let go because she thought, you know, that she would fall or something if she didn't let go.
Well, I've taken spills, bad spills in the ring, and I never let go of the lead.
Yeah.
But that's not normal
either.
That's
not normal.
Yeah. Anything else? If we have nothing else, I think we're adjourned.
Okay.